Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So the bill that they are considering now in Springfield, the governor said he will sign it, started in the House, went to the Senate, got changed, it's going back to the House, would prevent the sale, the manufacture, and the possession and purchase of assault-style weapons in Illinois. Assault weapon attachments as well, and 50-caliber cartridges. It would also keep standards set in earlier versions of the act, such as maintaining the age to get a firearms owner identification card, the FOID card, at 18. Some of us wanted to see it go to 21, but it'll be 18 you can get a gun, or you can get a license. Long guns will have a limit of 10 rounds per magazine. Handguns will not be allowed to have more than 15 rounds of ammunition. The restraining order for those wishing to purchase a firearm, but who have been found to be in significant danger of causing personal injury to himself or others, per the bill, was also increased to a maximum of 12 months from 6 months. So more difficult for those people to get a weapon by 6 months. The Senate President Don Harmon said this won't solve the problem, but it's a step in the right direction. Not everyone agreed. State Senator Chapin Rose of Mahomet, Illinois, said, enforce the laws that already exist. We're going to make felons out of taxpayers. And we mentioned Darren Bailey is against this, too. The former gubernatorial candidate said it was an affront to the Second Amendment. He expects the state Supreme Court will find the measure unconstitutional. And he said, personally, he won't comply with the law anyway. So, Rich Lankoff, let's just start there. I guess you don't know if something's constitutional until the courts decide. Does this have the ring of constitutionally correct or not to you?
It doesn't. And it clearly doesn't, unfortunately, John, in the wake. Unfortunately for many who believe in the law, it doesn't because of a Supreme Court decision last year that, according to the very conservative supermajority in the Supreme Court, it's a 6-3 majority, of which three of them were appointed by President Trump, it changed gun law as we know it. So I would say before this decision that's called Bruin, this Illinois firearms ban, assault weapons ban, might have had a chance. After Bruin, it really doesn't.
Is there some components that should get through, or is the whole thing probably going to not be allowed?
Well, basically, what this Bruin court said, and in particular the majority decision was written by Clarence Thomas, it said unless you can, as a proponent of the law, link elements of the law to either the Second or the 14th Amendment, we're talking, back in 1791, and I think the other decision was in the 1600s, then the law on its face is unconstitutional because it violates the Second Amendment. So in the wake of this Bruin decision, many similar laws in jurisdictions all across the country have been struck down by federal appeals courts. There was a law in Virginia, for example, that they challenged the mandate to have serial numbers on guns. That was struck down. So, again, because this very conservative Supreme Court changed the elements of the Second Amendment or the enforceability of it, I think this Illinois law is doomed.
Changed the interpretation of it anyway, but that's the U.S. Supreme Court. This is an Illinois law. They supersede us?
They do. The Second Amendment is, as are the other elements of the Constitution, those do in fact supersede state law.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure, that makes sense. But it still seemed to me like there are some regulations that the state can control irrespective of the federal interpretation of it. But I guess we're all citizens of the United States and have to abide by the federal Supreme Court. So the right to bear arms means that I will have a right to have an assault-style weapon. I'll have a right to an assault weapon attachment. I'll have a right to 50-caliber cartridges. I mean, the whole thing gets washed out, you think?
again, ultimately, this comes down to, you know, who's writing those decisions at the Supreme Court. Right now, we've got a very conservative, very pro-Second Amendment Supreme Court. Again, it's a 6-3 majority that it's not going away for at least the conceivable future. So, again, we don't know exactly what will happen with when this Illinois law is challenged, which it will be, but we have seen similar laws in other jurisdictions since the Bruin decision that have all been challenged and successfully challenged. So I think that's the way this law will go.
Well, why didn't they think of that when they were writing this bill and passing it through the various chambers? I mean, those people aren't dummies. They know what that Supreme Court ruling was. They must expect a different outcome.
They could. I mean, they could expect that this case is different enough, or that in the wake of Highland Park, the case is different, although we see shootings all across the country, and that doesn't affect how the Supreme Court rules. I think to answer your question, you can't be blind to the politics of it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you want to pass, if you're Pritzker, if you're some of the Democrats, you want to show that you're able to pass this law and then let the Supreme Court take the, you know, take the brunt of the anger for overturning it.
Rich Lankoff's on the phone line. Yeah, I get that point. That's not a trivial thing you just said, especially for, say, a governor who may have national aspirations. Rich Lankoff is the Capitol member of Downey and Lankoff and the co-host of the WGN radio podcast called Legal Face-Off. And yet, if the governor does sign it, it will become law, and then maybe somebody challenges it, and then maybe a judge will issue a stay. Would that be what happened, that the law would not be enforced and pending a judicial review, Rich?
Exactly. A judge would impose a restraining order on the enforceability of the law. You know, we saw a similar deal with the Safety Act last week. So that's how that would work until a appeals court would rule on it. And ultimately, the Supreme Court, if they decided to take it up, they would be obviously the ultimate arbiter of the issue.
There isn't a case now against this, though, is there, right? Somebody has to challenge it per se, correct?
Correct. Obviously it's brand new. But we've heard testimony from opponents of it here locally in Illinois who have already advanced the theory that it's unconstitutional, and they will no doubt file a lawsuit to overturn it.
Don Harmon, the Senate president, knew this would happen, and about a challenge, he said, bring it. You know, if you guys want to have a court case, let's go. So he must think that he has some legal ammunition, no pun intended, to fight this thing. What about what happened in Virginia? A 6-year-old takes a loaded gun out of her mom's purse. His mom's purse, was a little boy, took it to a grade school, pulled it out of his backpack, pointed it at, and intentionally shot his teacher. From a legal perspective, what do you make of that story? What can or should happen?
Well, two interesting legal components, John, that we'll be covering on Legal Face-Off are, number one, who bears responsibility? Specifically, is there a potential that the mother or a parent of the child bears responsibility? The answer is yes, right? If there's evidence that she failed, because we already know that the gun came from home, that's been established. So if there's evidence, which I don't think it's a hard case to prove, that the mother was negligent in failing to secure the weapon, how else would the kid get it? Then there's definitely liability for her criminally. It's a misdemeanor in Virginia, but for, you know, failing to secure a weapon that ends up injuring someone. So that's number one. The mom is, you know, likely on the hook. Number two, what responsibility does a 6-year-old, right? We've seen lots of cases involving people under the age of 18. We know that often they can be tried as adults. Can a 6-year-old be tried? That's a little trickier. There is no, in Virginia, minimum age for a criminal charge against someone like there is in Illinois. There is also, you know, no minimum. But when it gets to people who are that young, the question becomes for the criminal system is, are they able to form the requisite intent to commit a crime, right? You see that frequently with people who are claiming some kind of mental defect as a defense. Well, a similar theory applies here. Does a 6-year-old carry with them the commensurate mens rea, the, you know, state of mind to create a criminal act? That will be the challenge. If not, then this person, the 6-year-old, doesn't go off scot-free. They'd be subject to, you know, counseling. But, you know, it's unlikely that you'd see the six-year-old behind bars for shooting their teacher.
So what do you think the just or best outcome is then in this situation?
Well, I think for sure, number one, again, the parent, I think, you know, there's some significant responsibility. There should be some criminal liability for them. And for the six-year-old, you know, thankfully, most states like Illinois, like Virginia, they do have, you know, processes in place for dealing with not only negligent parents, perhaps, you know, the kid should be taken away from the parent and put in the system, but there's also some, you know, series of counseling and training for this child to understand the gravity of what they've done and hopefully, you know, not to do anything like that in the future.
773 said, that's why our Supreme Court is broken. 1793 has nothing to do with today. My friend Thomas Jefferson often reminds us that it would take, you know, the better part of a minute to load a gun, fire it, and then reload it again, that the weapons of that era were not the same as the weapons we have today. And besides, the right to bear arms in order to maintain a well-regulated militia, right? So evidently it's a different interpretation, and that's what you get with the conservative court. All right, Rich, give me a headline of one other topic you're going to cover on your podcast.
Well, we're covering the events in Boston, you know, with the missing mom. That's very interesting. The guy was, you know, also on house arrest for selling fake art. And also what's interesting is whether the guy at the taqueria in Houston who shot up a robber who was using a toy gun, whether that person will be charged criminally. So there's lots of interesting stories. Of course, the breaking news with Joe Biden also perhaps holding some classified documents. That's also of interest. We know that the FBI is looking into that as we speak. So lots of legal stories that we're covering on Legal Face-Off.
That's Rich Lenkoff, capital member of Downey & Lenkoff. Thanks, Rich. Nice to talk to you today.
Thank you, John.